Good morning, Crossville Church. It is so good to see you guys this morning, all your wonderful faces. Everybody's smiling, happy to be here. So good to see you guys. There is no choir practice today, but next Sunday, choir practice begins. Come one, come all. Marcy would love to have you in the choir. Small groups, tonight at 6 o'clock, the Peavine group is focusing on understanding the Christian gospel. Ken Miller is leading that. And then the group that's meeting over in the Good News Room is focusing on Jonah, and Pastor Jack is leading that one. Our Super Summer Something, Wednesday night, our last one. Everybody say, ooh. Our children's ministry is in charge of that one, and the menu is breakfast. I love breakfast. Make sure to sign up in the foyer so that they know how many people's coming so we have enough food. Yard sale coming up August 7th through 9th. This is a fundraiser for the teens for their NYC. So make sure if you have items, bring them in. They need them here by Wednesday. Of course, if you can help with this, be sure and let Keisha know. But they are getting ready for that. That's that 127 yard sale. They usually have a huge turnout, good turnout. So bring all your stuff for that. Church work day, August 16th, 8:30 a.m. If you can't make it that day, that's okay. Pastor has a list of items that can be done any other day, before that, after that, So you still can help if you can't help on that day. There's other events which are coming in this month and the next few months, and they're in the bulletin and newsletter that was emailed out Friday. If you're not on that email list, please let us know, and we'll make sure to get you on that email list. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your faithfulness and giving. We do have the offering boxes on either side of the sound booth. But just have a good day. It's good to see you.
For Leah, we start with music. Come on up. Susie gave me this to read to you, and it's not only from Susie, but it's also from me. We just really thank you for your prayers and the texts and the calls, the love and support that we received during the loss of Susie's brother, Charles. And you're going to hear about this funeral one of these days, and I don't break down every time I start to talk about it. But what a great man. But we really do appreciate it, and thank you for all that you did to support us in this. And let's worship the Lord together. Let's stand. With the sinner's restless heart.
Father, to Pastor William asked me what I was going to read, and I told him, I don't know, what's your thesis statement? He said he doesn't have one, but we all know that's not true because we've heard him preach, and he always says something. I'm just going to cut to the quick, no pun intended, and tell you what his thesis statement is, and it's obedience is the word. It's not popular in our culture, but if we have the humility to admit that sometimes we're wrong, obedience actually turns into a good thing. And so I'm just going to make a quick observation for you. There's four clear points in the New Testament where people ask a question such as, what must I do? Which is Acts 2, or what must I do to inherit eternal life? Which is Luke 18, or what must I do to inherit eternal life? Luke 10, or what must I do to be saved? Which is Acts 16. And all of those four situations, the answers that are given are different. But they're all variations on obedience. So whatever we do today, think about what it means to do that in your life. To whatever you hear Pastor William say, whatever God says through Pastor William, think about what it means to be sensitive to what is said. Not just to hear it, but to do it. Okay? So I'm going to pray a prayer for us quick. Lord, if we're honest, we probably look at the Israelite people and all their disobedience and hardness of heart and see a little bit of ourselves in them. There's often that we know what to do and yet we do it not. And I can't say a prayer saying we're going to be perfect from here on out. Of course I can't. But I ask you today to soften our hearts the way only you can, to help us be receptive to your word that is preached, to help us to believe, to turn, and to live. It's in your name we have these things. It's only in your name we can. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
A few weeks ago, we began this series on Exodus. I recall that as I announced that we were beginning this series on Exodus, that there were no shouts of praise in the audience over that, you know. Probably, if you were to be honest with me this morning, you would have probably said in your mind, Exodus, you got to be kidding. No, I wasn't. You know. The whole idea behind all this is that God is our deliverer. He's not just the deliverer of a nation, and we're about to really get into that, but He is our deliverer. He is the deliverer of individuals. And we've seen that as we've begun this talking about Moses. And if you want to go back for just a little bit of review, Pharaoh comes on the scene in Egypt that knows very little about Joseph. So because the Israelites are so numerous, they choose to enslave the Israelites there in Egypt. They not only choose to slay the Israelites, but they choose to kill all the Hebrew boys. And this Hebrew baby boy is born and is allowed to live. And that baby born that is allowed to live is Moses. He was raised as an Egyptian, but when he saw an Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew, he killed the Egyptian and then ran away. He ends up in Midian. And there he marries, he begins to tend sheep, and there he marries a woman by the name of Zipporah, and they have a son named Gershom. And while shepherding his sheep at 80 years old, God appears to Moses in the form of a burning bush and calls him to return to Egypt to demand Pharaoh let the Hebrews go to worship God. Well, we talked about this last week, that Moses doubts God. If he doesn't doubt God, he at least doubts himself, and he lacks faith in this area, and he offers God several excuses, but God shows miracles to Moses and tells Moses, I'm going to be with you. And then Moses is most honest with God when he says, please send someone else. Yeah, we've all said that at some point in time. Please, God, provide some other teacher for those middler girls, you know. Or boys, whichever the case may be, you know. But that doesn't work, and so God says, I'm going to send Aaron to go with you to assist in this journey. I mean, those are some very short statements that kind of bring us up to speed today. And here we start with Moses beginning the process of going back to Egypt, and en route to Egypt, they stop at a lodging place, and there God meets with Moses, and according to Exodus chapter 4, verse 24, he is about to kill Moses. Well, the question comes up, well, why would God seek to end the life of a man that he has just commissioned to lead the people of Egypt, lead the people out of Egypt before he could even begin to carry out that mission? Well, to understand that situation, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 4, beginning with verse 18 and going down through verse 24 this morning. But as a jumping off point, we're going to use Exodus chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, where Moses is at that point in time being obedient to God. And here's what it says. Now, the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was a kid in Sunday school, and I came to realize this week as we were at Susie's brother's funeral, when all of the kids that were kids a long time ago or now have kids of their own that are about the same age as they were when, oh my goodness. I came to realize how long ago being a kid in Sunday school was. But I remember one of the things that was taught to me when I was in Sunday school, and you find that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, where the Apostle Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And all the parents said, amen, you know. Occasionally my dad would remind me of that verse whenever we talked back or whenever we did something that we weren't supposed to do. Dad would remind us that, children, you are to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I will be honest, in some of those cases when Dad said things or Mom said things, I said to myself, I will never say those things to my children. Megan? The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, you know. You know, you want to teach them to obey. And you just don't want them to obey when they feel like it. You want them to obey when it's the right time to obey. I've heard parents, and if you do this, please, I don't know anything about it, but if you do this, I'm going to tell you, counting to 1, 2, 3 only teaches delayed obedience. That was a parental tidbit that, not in my notes, but anyway. We need to obey because if they're about to step out in front of a car and you say stop, you want them to stop. You don't want them to go forward and bad things happen. But the reality of it is, not only do we teach our children to have delayed obedience, but you and I, from time to time, have this thing of delayed obedience with God. I went from preaching to meddling, didn't I? You know. As Christians, I don't think any of us would disagree with the statement that God deserves our obedience. Doesn't he? I mean, that's one of the ways that we honor him is through our obedience. And as we go through this passage today, we're going to find out that Moses would come to understand the importance of obedience, complete obedience. And so we're going to talk about three things today in relation to obedience that you find in the life of Moses. And I don't know that you'll be shouting me down this morning. But I also want you to know that I've lived with this message all week long. In fact, I started living with this message last week and how I was going to preach at least part of this message this morning. The first thing that I want you to see is that our obedience is going to require courage. Our obedience is going to require courage. Look at verse 18, Exodus chapter 4. Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Let me return to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive." Jethro said, "Go, and I wish you well." Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead." So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, "When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, 'This is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go so that he may worship me, but you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son.'" Wow. There are times, and if you've not already found this out, I believe there are times that you're going to find it out. There are times in which, in our life, which it's to be obedient, it's going to take real courage. It's going to take real courage. I think of the people in the Bible, as you go through the Bible, you think of the people who were called to do some pretty drastic things. I mean, Abraham was called to leave his family and his friends and everything that was familiar and go to a land that God would show him. I mean, think about that for a moment. He had no clue where he was going. I can't imagine going to Susie and say, "Hey, the Lord has called me. We're going to a church." And she say, "Where is it?" And I say, "I don't know." "Well, I hope you have a good time there, you know." But Abram, he is called of God to leave his family and go to a land that God would show him. And then later on you find that he was called to take his son, the child of promise, his son Isaac, and take him to the mountain and sacrifice him there. We read these things and we really don't think about how these people felt and how they dealt with these things. But I just don't think that Abraham said, "Oh boy, I get to do this." But you do read that he thought that the same God who was calling him, if Isaac's life was taken, he believed that Isaac's life could be restored. But oh, what courage it took to go to the mountain. I don't understand it, but he followed God. I don't know what you may be called to do. I don't know all that I'm going to be called to do. But I want you to understand that it is only as we have courage and as we have faith in God that God can move through us and do things that could not otherwise be accomplished. I mean, here in Exodus chapter 4, Moses doesn't waste any time. He immediately obeys the instructions because he understands the gravity of the situation. And the first thing that he does is he goes to his father-in-law to ask his permission to go. Now, don't miss that. You think that may seem insignificant, but it wasn't. Moses had a flock of sheep, but they were not his sheep. They were his father-in-law's. And he wanted to take care of them so that Jethro could assign someone else to go and take care of the sheep. And in doing so, Moses protected the sheep. Moses did what he was supposed to do in relation to his father-in-law. And his father-in-law gave him his blessing. And because he was doing what God had told him to, in verse 19, you find that God speaks to Moses and takes away any remaining fears that Moses might have had. Because it says that the Lord said to Moses, "Go back to Egypt, for all those who sought to kill you are now dead." Moses wasn't stalling out of fear. Moses was doing what God had called him to do. And it's just another confirmation that Moses is trying to do what God is calling him to do. And so in verse 20, you have that Moses takes his wife and his sons, puts them on a donkey, and starts back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God with him. You say, "William, why are you making a big deal of that?" Because God had told him to take the staff. This was no longer the staff of Moses, the shepherd. This was the staff of God which Moses, the deliverer, was holding in his hand. This was the staff through which God would begin to show His mighty power to the people in Egypt. This is the staff of God. So here again, you see this act of obedience as Moses' faith is growing and as he's beginning to do what God has called him to do. He no longer needed the staff to tend to the sheep, but he did need the staff to lead the people of God. Wasn't anything magical about Moses. Moses was a man. But there was something powerful about the God that Moses served. You see, we're just men and women. Men and women, boys and girls, because the kids are in here this morning. We are just people. It is not in our power. It's not in our ability. It is in the God that we serve. That's why we choose to be obedient, and that's why we can have courage to do what God is calling us to do. But then you go on down, and God says something to Moses that had to have scared him to death, because he tells Moses, you're going to go to Pharaoh, and when you get to Pharaoh, please understand his heart's going to grow harder and harder and harder. Well, that's what Moses wanted to hear, wasn't it? That's not what this was all about. Moses was supposed to be able to go in. He was supposed to be able to throw the rod down, pick it up after it turned to a snake, put his hand in his cloak, pull it out, it would be leprous, put it back in, and it was all okay. Take water, pour it on the floor, it becomes blood. I mean, all this was supposed to happen. This was supposed to convince Pharaoh, but all of a sudden God says, it may not happen that quick. I usually do application at the end, and the application today is a little longer, so we're going to do application after each point, okay? Is there something in your life right now that God wants you to do, but you're afraid to do it? I mean, think about it. Is there something that God is speaking to you right now? He wants you to do it, you're afraid to do it, and if you're afraid to do it and you're not doing it, you're being disobedient. So the thing that you need to do today is ask Him for the boldness and the courage that you need to choose to be obedient to Him. You see, our obedience is going to take courage. But the second thing that I want you to see this morning in all of this is that our obedience not only is going to take courage, but our obedience must be complete. Look at verse 24. At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. But Zipporah took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me, she said. So the Lord let him alone. At that time, she said, bridegroom of blood, referring to the circumcision. Now, I want you to understand that this is one of those passages that you and I may look at and say, well, why is this here? I also want you to understand that this is not the easiest passage that I have ever preached from. But it's here for a purpose. And because it's here, we're going to look at it. I was talking to someone and they said to me, I want to do what God wants me to do for the most part. Can I tell you something this morning? For the most part won't cut it with God. Has anyone in here ever bought something that needed to be assembled? And instead of using the instructions, and I'm not looking at any of the guys this morning, okay? You know, you need something to be assembled, and instead of using the instructions, you put it together on your own. Now, I do understand, and I will be honest enough to tell you this morning, I have done that. And sometimes I have done it because I either didn't understand the instructions or because I thought, what do they think I am, stupid? Adam Byrne preached a sermon at the CAC Chapel. He sent it to me to listen to. This was about a year ago. He said, and Keenan's here this morning, so Keenan will have to vouch for it. And I didn't tell Keenan. I did talk to Adam and get his permission to tell you this morning. He talked about the fact that he and Keenan were putting together a trampoline and that they didn't read the instructions. Is that true, Keenan? Way to go, man. I'm telling you, you know. And he said when they were trying to get it all together, it didn't work. And he said then they had to go back and at the beginning and put it all together again after they read the instructions. You see, when it comes to our obedience to God, if we only follow part of His instructions instead of the complete instructions, there are going to be consequences for that. And Moses learns the hard way. And Moses obeys God for the most part. On his way to Egypt with his family, God appears to Moses and it says here he's going to kill him. And you know, you're thinking, well, wait a minute. God chose Moses to deliver his people and now he's going to kill him. This doesn't make any sense. Well, this is one of those spots that you and I have to stop and remember that we are not God. We don't understand all that's going on. So what is the big picture here, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. If you go back to Genesis chapter 17, verses 9 through 14, there you find God making his covenant with Abraham. And the sign of God's covenant with Abraham was circumcision. And here is what is happening. Moses has chose to obey God on his life to go to Egypt and deliver the people of God. He's taken this step of faith. God is pleased with that step of faith. However, somewhere in the process, Moses neglected to have either one or both of his sons circumcised according to the covenant. Now, Moses is the man who's going to lead God's people out of Egypt. He was the man that God spoke to. He would later be called a friend of God. But this same Moses failed to carry out part of God's covenant. Moses had obeyed for the most part. You see, the reality of it is this. Moses had obeyed God in all of these things, except for one. Most commentators say that the reason that he did not do what he was supposed to do was because his wife Zipporah, who was a Midianite, thought it was a barbaric custom, and so therefore he had not done it. Can I tell you something this morning? There are going to be times when you and I obey God that it is going to upset some other people. But we don't answer to those other people. Ultimately, you and I answer to God. You see. He's the most important one. I mean, the Apostle Paul said, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. What is he talking about there? Obeying God. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. He's talking there about being obedient, completely obedient to God. And Scripture is very clear that as Christians, we need to be living holy lives. And we cannot live holy lives on partial obedience. I want you to get this morning. You and I make ourselves subject to failure in other areas of our lives when we are disobedient in one area. Did you get that? You and I make ourselves subject to temptation and failure in many areas when we are disobedient in one area. So let me ask you a question. Are you walking in obedience to God this morning? Not for the most part, but are you, am I, are we walking in obedience to God in our lives? Not for the most part, but in all parts. If you're not, I encourage you to start to do that today. Third point this morning, last one. Not only will obedience require courage, and not only must be complete, but obedience is commanded. Look at verse 27. The Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say and also about all the signs he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. Moses and Aaron both hear the call of God to go meet each other. Or Aaron specifically hears the call of God to go and to meet Moses. Moses is already on his way. Now, please remember, at this point in time, Aaron is 83 and Moses is 80. These are not young folks. Driving to Georgia and back two times in the past 2 weeks, I realized I am not young folks. Welcome to the club. Thank you. I appreciate that. Both of them are older men. Aaron is 83. Moses is 80. And they are thrilled to see each other. I mean, remember, they've not seen each other for over 40 years now. And you read this in verse 28. Then Moses told everything the Lord had sent him to say and about all the signs he had commanded him to perform. Moses is sharing with everything that the Lord has told him to say, everything that the Lord had told him to do. And folks, please understand this morning that obedience is not a take-or-leave proposition. It's not, as I've already said many times already this morning in point number two, this is not obedience for the most part. This is obedience in all parts. God speaking through Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 11, 3 through 5, tell them that this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Cursed is the one who does not obey the terms of this covenant, the terms I commanded your ancestors when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the iron smelting furnace. I said, obey me and do everything I command you, and you will be my people and I will be your God. Then I will fulfill the oath I swore to your ancestors to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, the land you possess today. God says through Jeremiah, reminds them all the way back to Abraham, you got to be obedient. You've got to do what I've commanded you to do if you're going to be my people. It's only through our obedience, folks, that we can be considered His. We can't walk in disobedience and expect God to bless us. We can't do for the most part what God is asking. Jesus said in John chapter, John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 through 24, he said, this is His command, Jesus' command, to believe in His name, the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He's commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that He gave us. Obedience is not optional. It's commanded. I said this last week in my closing. You know, we have this idea that we can do all of these things, and they may be things for the church, or they may be things in some place. We have all this idea that we can do all these things, but if we're not being obedient in what God has called us to do, they're not worth doing. They're not accomplishing anything except wearing us out and maybe helping a few people, but if it's not what God has commanded us to do, then they're not worth anything for Him. I mean, I read this verse last to you from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. I mean, Saul had done all of this stuff. And Samuel says it's not worth anything. And the bad part is, right there in that moment, Samuel also says to Saul, the kingdom has been taken away from you. I mean, Moses and Aaron share with the elders of Israel what they had been commanded to do. And Israel is so thrilled. Israel is so thrilled to hear that God has heard their cry or has heard a cry. And they bow down and worship. And that where it says they bow down and worship, this is not just talking about that they got on one knee. Listen, folks, I can't do what they did because it would be bad, okay? They got on their knees and they pulled their head in as far as it would go. As an act of submission, as an act of contrition, as an act of worship to God. It at least shows that at this point, okay? And at this point, they meant business. We're going to find out something else a little later on. But they were thankful for what God had done for them. Please understand, folks, our God deserves our obedience, our complete obedience, because He has commanded it from us. Even when it's hard, even when it's uncomfortable, even when we're afraid, even when, you know, complete and precise means that things are going to be very difficult. Obedience is a command, not option. Are you being obedient to what God is calling you to do in every area? Because it's a command. It's not optional. Now, for the long application. As you begin to look at it, please remember that God had called Moses, and Moses had only done in part what God had called him to do or what God required of him to do. And so when you begin to look at this, you come to the realization that God does not trifle with sin and disobedience. He doesn't trifle with disobedience. We can call it what it is. It's sin. I mean, Psalm 5 verse 4 says, "For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness." Which leads me to this thought. That the cost of the cost of obedience is nothing compared to the cost of disobedience. The cost of obedience is nothing compared to the cost of disobedience. Don't make the mistake that Saul made, thinking that if I do good in one area, that God is going to just overlook all the evil in other areas. No, 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 no. You have to come to the realization, how could Moses lead the people of God unless he followed God? Unless he did what God commanded him to. How could he teach the covenant without following the covenant? How could he ask the people of God to obey God when he himself had overlooked one thing because it made somebody upset? You see, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, then we've got to be obedient to God in our lives. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 says something that's a little bit frightening. He says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear." If God is God over us, then we've got to yield ourselves to Him in complete obedience. If God is God over us, then we've got to be willing to be obedient to Him in all things. True spirituality is not judged by what we do, but by our obedience to Him. Jesus did not die to leave us in our sin. He came and died that we might be delivered from our sin. That's why we've been talking all along about the fact that we serve a God who delivers. We serve a God who delivers. And He just didn't die so that you could go on your merry way and continue to live and to do and to act like you were before you accepted Him as your Savior. He came in order that He might deliver you from those things and set you on a new path. Because we serve a God who delivers. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Sometimes we read in your word, or we feel in our spirit something that you want us to do, and we are scared to death. Thank you, God, that you will give us the courage that we need in order to be obedient to you. Sometimes we try to obey you for the most part. We do the easy things, but when it comes to the hard things, it becomes very difficult, and we try to skirt those issues and go on to something else. Oh God, help us to obey you regardless of who it upsets, regardless of what it might be said, regardless of what it might cost, because ultimately obedience costs far less than disobedience. And we thank you, Lord, this morning. We're not left to wonder whether or not you want us to be obedient or not, but we know that you do want us to be obedient. And we need to do what you have commanded. And so, Lord, this morning, if there's one, maybe more, that as your word was proclaimed today, that maybe you spoke to their hearts, and well, maybe you did. For your word's not going to return void. Maybe you spoke to all of our hearts this morning. It's so easy to do things without doing the right things. And so, Lord, I pray that today, as we are sitting here before you, that right where we are, we can submit ourselves to you, asking first and foremost for your forgiveness, determining that we're going to, regardless of the cost, regardless of what other people might say, we're going to do what you've called us to do. Lord, we're grateful that you were with Moses. We're grateful, Lord, that we've seen how you were delivering him. We're going to begin to see how you deliver your people. But you started with him. Lord, would you start with us? Would you start in this pastor's heart? Would you help us, Lord, to leave this place committed to you and committed to ourselves that we're going to follow after you? We're going to do what you are calling us to do. For it's only in the doing what you have called us to do and the obedience to that call that we can be effective for you. And so, Lord, this morning, we thank you for your word once again. We ask you, Father, that as we go from this place, that you, through the power of your Spirit, would continue to deal with us and help us that we might be obedient to you. With every head bowed, every eye still closed, no one looking around, please. I wonder if there might be those, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I wonder if there might be those that would just simply, if you want me and you want Jack and Heather, if you want us to pray for you this week, would you just simply look up and I'll see you. You're not looking at me because I can't save you, but we can pray for you this week that God would help you in this area. Amen. Others. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together. I'm thankful that you are at work. Help us, Lord, to be obedient. Help us, Lord, to follow. And we thank you and we praise you in advance for what you're going to do. For it's in the name of the one who submitted himself in complete obedience for us. In the name of Jesus that we pray these things. God bless you. I'm going to be praying for you this week. Remember the small groups this evening. All that's going on the rest of this week. God bless you. You are dismissed.